Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Samach Dalid. We're holding on daf Samach Gimel and Beis. We're going to go back to the beginning of the story over here of Yosef, Rav Nachman, Ve'ula, Ve'avimi, Bar Papi. We're going to have essentially three shailas that are raised in today's daf. One shaila is the one that we started to discuss yesterday. Scharo lishbor b'yayin esach mahu. What if a guy hires a Jew to break barrels of yayin esach? Is that a violation of rotza b'kiyuma? Because his job is to break yayin esach, so he wants that yayin esach to be around until he's going to be able to do his job. The second shaila that we're going to raise is we know that there's a notion that Avodah Zarah is tofeses tameha, that when you exchange money for Avodah Zarah, whatever you get in exchange for the Avodah Zarah has dinim of Avodah Zarah as well. What about Avodah Zarah biyad oved kochavim? The guy himself exchanges the Avodah Zarah for something. Is it tofeses tameha even while it's still biyad oved kochavim? So that's going to be a second shaila that's going to take us most of Amud Aleph. And then on the top of Amud Beis, we're going to raise the third shaila, and that is also by this group of people that were sitting together. It's the same group raises all three shailas about a ger toshav ma'u sheyevatel avodos kochavim, that a guy who's mekabel on himself not to do avodah zarah he's not a Jew, so what's the din about him being mevatel in avodah zarah? Do we assume that only someone who is ovid avodah zarah has the ability to be mevatel avodah zarah, but someone who's not ovid avodah zarah does not have the ability to be mevatel the avodah zarah, or called bar minei mevatel? Do we assume that anyone who's a min of a guy, anyone who's from that category of a guy is able to be mevatel, and a ger toshav is certainly in the category of a non-Jew, and therefore he would be able to be mevatel. So those are the three shailas around which the entire daf is built. So let's begin again from Yosef Nachman Vulav Avim Bar Papi on Samach Gimel and Beis, about seven lines before the end of the page. So Yosef Nachman Vulav Avim Bar Papi, the Yosef Bechia Bar Ami Gabayhu, and Bechia Bar Ami was sitting together with them. Tosos raises the question that lashon Rabbi Tamay Medaktik Shabakal Makam Shu Omer VYosef Ploni Gabayhu. Whenever it says that somebody was sitting with them, Maskiro came Lefishu Hu Horlem Dvar Chidush. We always say that because that person taught them a Dvar Chidush, taught them something new. V'kan Lo Dibir Rabbi Chia Barami Kamayu El Rav Nachman Sheheshiv Lahem. But over here, it's interesting because Rabbi Chia Barami did not say anything. It was Rav Nachman who responded, V'omer kizah maysa hayim osa d'ksubis. Rabbi Natam said, what you have to say is that this story is not a standalone story. This is all part of a single sitting together with what happens in Ksubis Tafnun Gimel, where Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Ami, Tanina Ishtar Arusa, V'al osa davar huskar, V'al Talmud kava advarim al seder mesechtos. That really this story was brought down as one big story, and in the other place where it comes up, in Mesechus Ksubis, Hitaka does say a Dvar Chiddush, but when they arranged the Gemara, they broke up the story and put it in different spots where it belongs based on topics. So that's why we have this unusual Gabayhu over here, Yosef Gabayhu, where he doesn't say a Dvar Chiddush. But anyway, Yosef Gabayhu, they raised the following suffix. Schara lishbor b'yayin esach. A guy hires a Jewish worker to break his barrels of yayin esach, pour out all the wine, destroy it. So mahu, what's the din? Mi aminon kiven derotzu b'kiyumo aser. Do we assume that since the Jew wants the yayin esach to exist so that he will have a job, so that he can get paid for, it's going to be aser because he's rotzu b'kiyumo? O dilma kolamuti tifla shapridami. Or do we assume that since we have an obligation to destroy avodah zarah from the world, so it's good to do this and to take this job, because ultimately the net result of taking this job is that you're going to destroy more avodah zarah. Say nachinami, temporarily I may be rotzu b'kiyumo, but in the end of the day I'm doing a really good thing over here. Summer of Nachman, yishbar v'tavol the tovel of bracha. Let him break the barrels and tovel of bracha. He's which means that the schar that he's going to get for it, the payment that he's going to get for it, is going to be mutter bahana'a. So even though there is an isra of rotza b'kiyuma l'chora, it's a justified rotza b'kiyuma, the chamer mekel, because of the end result that you're going to be mema'it b'tifla. The Beis Yosef in Yerdea Simon Kuf Lamed Gimel writes that the svar of Rav Nachman is that rotza b'kiyuma is usher when you want the thing to stay around in order to return it, or in order to sell it, in order to do something productive with it. But when you want to be rotza b'kiyuma only because you want to destroy it, that's not called rotza b'kiyuma. So those are two ways of understanding it. Either, yes, of course this is rotza b'kiyuma, but the greater good outweighs the concern of rotza b'kiyuma. Or you say, no, this doesn't fit the geder, the Beis Yosef says, of what would be called rotza b'kiyuma. Rotza b'kiyuma means I want it for the long haul. I want it to be around to do something positive with it. But if I want it around in order to destroy it, that's not called rotza b'kiyuma. So says Gemara, lema misayele. Maybe we could bring a raya to Rav Nachman from a brisa that in odrin ima ovid chavim b'klayim, it's usher for a Jewish worker to dig it together with an ovid chavim in klayim in order to help it grow, in order to promote the growth of klayim. Because just like you're not allowed to plant klayim, you're also not allowed to do other things to klayim that's already planted that will enable it to grow better. Aval okrinimo, but a Jewish worker is allowed to work by a guy to uproot klayim, to get rid of it, to destroy it. And even though he's wrote to b'kiyumo in order that he will have a job to be able to uproot it, but ultimately he's getting rid of klayim from this world, so ultimately it's a win for the Jewish people if he's getting rid of klayim from this world. So the Gemara explains the raya, and first is makdim that the brisa allows working for akiras klayim even according to the shita that asur's being mekayim klayim. Savrua Hamani Rabbi Akiva hi da Amar Mekayim Mekayim Loka. So initially they thought that that they brought this raya for Rav Nachman, that this brisa is dafka following the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, who holds that if you mekayim klayim, you get malchus. That if there's klayim that's already planted and you build a fence around it, or you know, in order to protect it so that it doesn't get ruined, you get malchus for the yisur klayim. So according to Rabbi Akiva, the worker over here violates the yisur klayim because he's rotza b'kiyumam. Mekayim klayim is the same thing as rotza b'kiyumam. So the Gemara says, where do we find such a shita of Rabbi Akiva? D'tanya, haminakesh v'mechape b'klayim. Someone who pulls out thorns and weeds that could ruin the klayim, or he covers the plant with dirt so that it will promote its growth. Loke, you definitely get in malchus for planting klayim, because just like planting itself, you're trying to promote its growth. Menakesh v'mechape. Also, you're promoting the growth. Rabbi Kiva Omer, af hamekayim. Even if you do something just to protect the klayim, nothing to directly promote its growth, but to protect it, you build a fence around it, you also get malchus for planting klayim. So my time with Rabbi Akiva, why is it that you get, Rabbi Akiva holds that you get malchus even for just being mekayim klayim? Because Omer Kra, the pasuk says, sadcha lo sizra klayim. So I would only know that you're not allowed to plant klayim. Mekayim minayin. How do I know you can't even be mekayim klayim? Tamalomar lo klayim. The pasuk says behemtcha lo sarbia klayim sadcha lo sizra klayim. So the Torah has the word klayim right next to the word sadcha. So you can read the pasuk as follows: klayim sadcha lo. Meaning this is one of the drachim that we have of drashos throughout Shas, that sometimes, and they must have had a mesorah of when to do this, because we can't just do this all the time, but sometimes they would just put the comma in a different place and say, oh look, you see those words that they could be understood as an independent phrase, that even being mekayim klayim in a field, you can't do sadcha klayim lo, so, or klayim sadcha lo rather. So as we said, the Bnei Yeshiva thought that the brisa holds like Rabbi Akiva that it's also to be mekayim klayim, and according to him it's an isser rotza b'kiyumo shel klayim vilu lemutei tifla shari. And even though you get malchus normally for being rotza b'kiyumo, but the brisa says you're allowed to work with the guy to uproot klayim even though you're rotza b'kiyumo in the interim, because in the end of the day you're going to be uprooting the klayim. So this is a raya to Rav Nachman, that the same should be true by Avodah Zarah, that even though there's an issur of rotzu b'kiyumo, and therefore we should have asked getting paid to do such a job, but nevertheless, since it's al manas levara, the payment, the wages you're going to get are going to be mutter. So the Gemara rejects the raya from Rav Nachman. Lo, you can't bring a raya from this brisa to Rav Nachman. Hamani rabbananhi, because maybe that brisa is dafka going like the sheet of the rabbanan, that there is no iser of being mekayim klayim. There's no iser of rotza b'kiyum moshel klayim, and that's why you're allowed to help the guy uproot the klayim, even though in the interim you're rotza b'kiyumo, because by klayim there's no such din, but by yayin nesach where there is a din of rotza b'kiyumo, maybe in a chinami you're not allowed to take a job to uproot yayin nesach, to destroy yayin nesach. Well, frak the gemara I rabbanan, if the brisa is following the sheet of the rabbanan, my irya okrin. Why does the Tana have to tell me a case that it's mutter to be oker the klayim, that it sounds like only because of that ultimate goal of getting rid of it, that's what makes it mutter, but be mekayim it, not l'shem akira, it would be aser, according to the Chama, afil kiyumenami shaper dami, even to be oved the klayim in order to keep it, in order to keep it going, would be mutter. So the Gemara says, you're right, the Braisa follows the Chama that allow being mekayim the klayim. Why does it have to tell me the heter of being oker klayim, with the goal of being oker? The Braisa is talking about a case where the guy is working for free, and the Braisa follows Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds you're not allowed to give a matnas chinam to a guy, so because maker adin, it should be usher to work for free with a guy. So that's the chiddush of the Braisa, that even though you're not allowed to work for free because you're not allowed to give a matnas chinam to an ovid kochavim, this isn't really a matnas chinam. You know, you have an ulterior motive over here. You're trying to get rid of klayim. You want the klayim out of the world. So that you're allowed to do. So the Gemara says, "Mid Rabbi Yehuda nishma the Rabbi Akiva." Even if you assume that the price is going like Rabbi Yehuda, it would still be a raya to Rav Nachman, because from the din of Rabbi Yehuda and the Brisa, you could see what Shitas Rabbi Akiva is. Lavam Rabbi Yehuda asur litin aman aschinam avlamuti tifla shaper dami. Just like Rabbi Yehuda holds, generally there's an issue of giving a matan aschinam, but when the goal is to be memai tifla, to get rid of this bad thing, so then it's mutter. So the Rabbi Akiva nami afkav dam Rabbi Akiva mekayim mekayim loke lamuti tifla shaper dami. So Rabbi Akiva also says, yeah, generally there's an issue called mekayim klayim, but if it's Mute tifla, then it's going to be justified, and therefore the same should be true by our worker working with the yayin nesach to destroy the yayin nesach. That ain't a chinami. There's normally a din of an issur of rotza b'kiyumo, but the mute tifla shapir dami v'sulo midi. So says Gemara, there's nothing else to ask. Meaning this is a good raya to Rav Nachman. Now this notion, this whole idea of rotza b'kiyumo plays a significant role, as we started to allude to yesterday, in Hilchos Chametz Pesach, meaning this would definitely count as a Daf Yomi coincidence. This is the most common discussion of Rotza B'Kiyumo, is when it comes to Chametz Pesach. So a number of Rabbanim in recent years came up with the following idea. All of these grocery suppliers are some of the major grocery suppliers are Jewish-owned companies. So they came up with this big... So there's been big issues in terms of how to properly deal with it. So for many years, Rabbi Teitz ran a mechira where they did a mechiras chametz based on the tshuva of Moshe. They did a mechiras chametz even though they continued to do business on the yantiv. So then you always ran into the problem. But what about the chametz that they bought on yantiv? You ran into two problems. First of all, isn't the whole mechira a joke if they're continuing to do business? And second of all, what about the chametz? They continue to buy chametz. So they had to like figure out that window, you know, that 1 week window where you figure out the whatever's going to be on the shelves. I mean, even if you're buying at a store where the store sold the chametz, but they're being supplied by a supplier who didn't sell it. So then in more recent years, Rabbi Belsky Zichron Lebracha came up with a different mechira that I think is still implemented, where they sell the company. Instead of selling the chametz, they sell the company to a non-Jew for the duration of Pesach, and that way, it's not chametz shavu. The stuff that comes in on Pesach was bought by a guy. It's a non-Jewish owned company, so they rely on that. So a number of rabbanim came up with the idea: why rely on any of this? Why not have the Jewish supermarkets overstock? You know, they'll buy all the pasta and all the cereal they're going to need for the next several months, and then we'll do our mechira. You know, we'll do a proper mechira like we normally do, and that way you'll know that you have a proper mechira instead of relying on a mechira that they're selling the company or whatever, and I don't know who's doing that mechira or what's going on and whether that's an appropriate thing to do. So I'll have regular mechiras chametz. So the shaila is that a violation of rotza b'kiyumo, meaning I dafka buy the chametz and then I I'm going to use that chametz right afterwards because that's my business. I was just in the OU office on Friday. They were asking Rav Shechter, the pizza store owners. They make extra dough right before Pesach because right after Pesach they're going to. So that's standard practice. Their shaila was they're going to put it in the freezer over Pesach, not going to leave the dough out. But they need it to thaw before they start making pizza. So would it be a problem if they just go into the store on the last day of Pesach, just take it out of the freezer, just to let it thaw out? He didn't think that was the right thing to do. But is this a violation of rotza b'kiyumo? So that's the discussion that comes up in Shulchan Aruch Paskins. You're not allowed to be maskir a kli to a guy on Pesach that he's going to use for chametz, and Mishmur explains because it's rotza b'kiyumo shel chametz because the kli would break if it were on a fire without any chametz in it. So the Makar Chaim, the author of the Chavos Das, discusses the following: how can you say rotza b'kiyumo by chametz? We don't find that a Jew has a mitzvah to be mevatel or mashkis all the chametz in the world, even the chametz that's by a guy. Adraba, you're even allowed to be shomer the chametz of an akum. That's what we do when we sell the chametz. We keep it in our house in areas that are marked off. But we are the shomrim over the chametz of the guy. So the Makar Chaim suggests when it comes to the isur chametz, there's no isur of rotza b'kiyumo unless you're being nena some additional hana'a b'kiyumo, like the case in Shulchan Aruch where you're getting schar by you're getting paid to rent out the kli that's going to be used for the chametz. So there's a net gain for you, but you're allowed to, if you want to lend the kli to a guy for free without renting it, that would be mutter, even though you're being nena by the fact that chametz is in the pot while it's on the fire, because otherwise it would break from the fire. Yeah, but you could have just not loaned him the kli to begin with, and you would have had the same result of not of your pot not breaking. Now it's only when you're getting paid that we consider it to be a violation of rotza b'kiyumo. So in Shevet Alevi in Chelek Dalet Siman Memtes, he was asked about our shaila about stocking up on chametz before Pesach so that you could then sell it after Pesach. And the reason the fellow wanted to do this is he has more confidence in his own mechiras chametz than the mechiras chametz of the company, of the factory, of the supplier. So Rav Vazner writes that min adin it's mutter to do this, and the mechiras chametz is chal. And even though he can't be in this situation he can't be mevatel the chametz ba'amira, because any time you're setting up chametz to get more before Pesach to use after Pesach, we don't trust such a bittel. Are you really being mevatel b'leiv shalem? Because in umdina demuchach that what you're doing goes against the bittel. But nevertheless, mechiras chametz works even to be mafkia an isra chametz daraisa of chametz that is not mevutel. Not like those machmirim who assume that mechiras chametz only works together with bittel, because the gedolei apostolim assume that the mechira is a 100% valid and binding mechira. So he says we rely 100% on the mechira. So he says therefore there's nothing wrong with doing such a mechira. And then he says just like there's no iser, there's also no iser of rotza b'kiyumo of the chametz in this situation, because there's a difference between rotza b'kiyumo of avodah zarah and rotza b'kiyumo by chametz. By avodah zarah there's a mitzvah to destroy all avodah zarah, and therefore there's always going to be an iser of rotza b'kiyuma. But by chametz, it's only if you're being nehene mikiyuma that you're getting additional ana, like we said from the Chavos Das. Only then, but to be matzil mi nezek is not considered rotza b'kiyuma of the chametz, and like the like the Chavistah says, and therefore such a mechira is going to be a valid mechira. So it turns out that such a mechira is a valid mechira, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's an easy thing to do, meaning that it's a practical matter, as we've spoken to grocery store owners, say, oh, would you mind stocking up on the next like 2 months worth of it? So not always so easy for them to do. Individuals might want to consider this, though. You know, an individual who's worried about the lists that come out after Pesach, where he can, where he can't buy. So an individual could probably do such a thing in his own garage or whatever to have such chametz. Okay, we mentioned over here the Isra of Lo Sitla Matnas Chinam. It happens to be a discussion in Poskim whether you're allowed to give a tip to a taxi driver or something like that who's not a Jew. So the Debrezina Rav in Be'er Moshe Chel Gimel Sim Kuf Yud Zayin says, of course you're allowed to. Shcheino Makiro, whenever there's any sort of relationship, it's not called a matnas chino. Whenever there's any sort of ulterior motive or any sort of ongoing relationship that you could benefit from that relationship with the guy, that would not be called a matnas chino. Okay, so now back in the Gemara. So we had said that there is such a din called Avod Zaris Tofesis Tameha, that whatever you get in exchange for the Avodah Zarah, it takes on the status of the dinim of Avodah Zarah as well. So Hadu Yasim coming by Luhu. So they asked, the same group asked the following Shaila, Demei Avodah come beyond Ovi Chavim Mahu, a guy who has Avodah Zarah and he sells it for something, what's the status of the money he gets for his Avodah Zarah? Mito Fesis Demei beyond Ovi Chavim, Allah, does the din of Tfisas Damim apply even when it's in the hands of the Ovi Chavim or not? Samler of Nachum Stav, Demei Avodah come beyond Ovi Chavim, Mutarin. It's most mistaver that it's mutter for a Jew to get hana from such money. Midahanu da asul kamei to Rabbi Baravua, from the guy that wanted to be Megayer, and they came to Rabbi Baravua and they asked, what should we do with all this expensive Avodah Zarah that we have in our Rishus before the Gerus? They asked the Shaila. Samluhu, Rabbi Baravua says, oh, could you ask me now? Zilu zabinu kalma dislhu, go sell whatever you have, visu iskairu, and then you'll be Megayer. So, and then you'll be able to use that money after you're Megayer. My time, because he holds it as long as they sell it while they're still in Ovid Chavim, so then that money is going to be mutter for a Jew to use, and it will be mutter for them to use. They won't have to lose all this money. So the Gemara says, not necessarily a Raya, but Dilma, maybe that's not really the Svara of Rabbi Baravua, rather Shiny Hasim to keep it the Daitele Gure Vadai Bitla. Maybe over there it's different, because if the guy is planning on being Megayer, obviously, Minastam, he's Mevatel, the Avodah Zarah, before he's Megayer. And Ovid Chavim was Mevatel Avodah Zarah that he has, that's Batel, that's Mutter Ba'anah. So when he sells it, the money is going to be Mutter. But if he was Megayer first, so then it would be Avodah Zarah B'yad Yisrael. Avodah Zarah B'yad Yisrael, there is no Bittel. So selling it later would not help. So Ela Mehacha, so says Gemara, okay, we'll bring another Raya from a different price. Yisrael Shayenosha Bovik Chavim Mane. A Jew asks for $100 that he's owed from a guy. Umachra Avodah Chavim Mehevilo. So what does the guy do in order to pay back the debt? He sells his Avodah Zarah and brings, and the money that he gets for it, he brings to pay back the Jew. Or Yayin Nesach Vehevilo. The guy had Yayin Nesach. He sells that in order to pay back the Jew. Mutter, the Jew is allowed to get hana from that money. But if the guy says explicitly, hang on a second, let me go quickly sell my Avodah Zarah, let me go quickly sell my Yayin Nesach, and then I'll bring you money, Usher. Then the Jew is not allowed to get hana from it. So, but from the first din in the Brisa, you see that the Me'av Al-Dazar, Biyad Ovid Chavim, is Mutter Bahana. So that's why you're allowed to get hana from the money. But says the Gemara, but wait, we need some sort of explanation of what just happened. Why is it that when he says, hang on, while I sell my Avodah Zarah, that's going to be Aser? Yeah, you have a good Raya from the Reisha, but only if we understand what just happened that changed in the Seifa. Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. What changes in the Seifa that makes it all of a sudden problematic? Some Rav Shesha, Seifa Mishum Tavalei, Kiro Tzibikyumo. It's Aser to get from the money in the Seifa, because when the guy says, I just need to sell my Avodah Zarah, you are hoping that nothing happens to that Avodah Zarah before he sells it, because you know that that's your best chance of getting paid back. That's called Rotsa Bikiyumo of the Avodah Zarah. Says Gemara, Rotsa Bikiyumo Ki Agavna Mi Asir. Is such a Rotsa Bikiyumo so bad? Is it Asir and Rotsa Bikiyumo in such a case? But we have a Mishnah in the sixth parak of Mesechas Demai, Ger of an Ovid Chavim, Sheyarshu Avi and Ovid Chavim, if you have a Ger and an Ovid Chavim that together inherit their father, who is a non-Jew, Ger Yachal Omer Lo, the Ger could say to his brother, who is a Goy, Talat Avod Chavim Vanimaos. Here's how we're going to divide the Yerusha. You take all the Avod Zara, I'll take all the money. Talat Yayin Esech Vani Peros. You take all the Yayin Esech, and I'll take other Peros that are worth as much as the Yayin Esech. Meaning, as far as bottom line, we'll both get the same value, but I can't take Avod Zara or Yayin Esech, so I'll take corresponding to that greater value of other items. Imi Shabol Rishos Ager, if they already divided the Yerusha and the Ger already got Avodah Zarah Yayin Nesach, then Aser, then he can't change it out, he can't trade it out with his brother to give the Avodah Zarah and instead get something back from him. So the first in the Mishnah says that as long as he did not yet get the Avodah Zarah, he's allowed to in advance make this deal that he's going to get more in exchange for the guy receiving the Avodah Zarah. Well, isn't that a violation of Rotza B'Kiyumo? He wants that Avodah Zarah to exist so that his brother will be happy, so that he will get more money, and nevertheless it's mutter. What do you see from there? That Rotza B'Kiyumo of Avodah Zarah, where you're not doing any Maisa, you're just waiting to receive that which you're getting in exchange for the Avodah Zarah, is mutter. You're allowed to get Hana from that which is exchanged for the Avodah Zarah. Says Mar Amar Rav Barula Masnisim Bavodos Kochavim Hamischalekes Lefish Vareha. The Mishnah is talking about Avodah Zarah that is inherently valuable. It's made out of precious metals, and even if it's broken up into a million pieces, the raw materials of it are worth money. So you don't care about the kiyum of the Avodah Zarah. Let the Avodah Zarah be broken into a million pieces, let it be melted down. I don't care about that. That the kiyum doesn't help me at all. It's the value of the Avodah Zarah that I'm getting something corresponding to that. The Braisa, the Malvas, wrote to the kiyum of the Avodah Zarah, that you're not allowed to get the money. So says Martenach Avodah Zchavim. This works very well about a guy that gets the Avodah Zarah, and the Ger instead is going to get money, so that we say that the Ger is not, it doesn't care about Rotza B'Kiyuma, because it could be broken down and destroyed, and he'll be just as happy. But Yayin Nesach Meikel Meimar. But that wasn't the only example. The other example was that you take the Yayin Nesach, I'll take other Peros. Obviously, that's Rotza B'Kiyumo, because if the Yayin Nesach all gets spilled and it all gets destroyed, then the Jew is not going to, the Ger is not going to be able to get something of corresponding value. So the Gemara responds, Becheres Hadaryani. We're not talking about real Yayin Nesach over here. We're talking about Yayin Nesach, the Tam of Yayin Nesach that's Balua in Kalim, and if they were to destroy that kli, they would use it as a way of flavoring drinks. Meaning, what they used to do is they would saturate a kli with tam of yayin esach. Then they would take a little piece of the kli and they would drop it in water, and it would give a wine-like flavor to that water. So he's perfectly happy with this kli being destroyed, just like he's perfectly happy with the avodah zarah made out of gold and silver, precious metals being destroyed. He's perfectly happy with this barrel made out of yayin esach being destroyed. It will have great value to him. Says Mar Valoros Bikimushlo Yignova Vishlo Yevodu, but still he wants in a certain sense he's Rotza B'Kiyumo. He doesn't want it to be stolen, he doesn't want it to be lost. So isn't that a violation of Rotza B'Kiyumo? So says Mar Elamar of Papa, Yerusha Sager Kamrit, Shiny Yerusha Sager, Dakilu Barabanan, Gzera Shemiyachsula Kilkula. Yerusha Sager is a different story. We're much more makil in terms of Yerusha Sager because we don't want to do anything to discourage him or to lead him to go back to his old religion. So it turns out that the maskana of the Gemara is that Einu Rotza B'Kiyumo at all. It's not enough that he doesn't want it to that he doesn't care for breaks. You know, he has to be Einu Rotza B'Kiyumo at all in the maskana of the Gemara. By a ger, it happens to be that we have certain kulas by a ger in order to make sure that he doesn't want to revert back to his old religion, and we bring a raya that Rav Papa is correct that by Yerusha Sager we're extra mekel. Tanya Namiachi, Bamed Dvarim Amurim Sheyarshu Avol Nishtatfu Aser. This whole heter, you take the Avodah Zarah, I'll take something else of value. You take the Yayin Esach, I'll take other peros. That's only when they yarshin. But if they make a partnership, a Jew and a non-Jew make a partnership in Avodah Zarah and Yayin Esach, and together with other Dvarim Hamutarim, no, then you're not allowed to divide it divided in such a way, because the ger is certainly rotzei b'kiyumo, the avodah zarah, until the division of the assets in order to receive his fair share. Yet the Braisa says that if the ger and the goy yarshin, apparently you're allowed to divide it up. So you see very clearly that this is a special heter that we have for a ger who's yarshining in order shall yachsu l'suro, that he doesn't go back to his old ways. I said, then why by shutfus aren't we concerned that he's going to go back to his old ways if you don't allow this shutfus? Certainly if they had the shutfus before he ever was megayer, because the ger could have asked for his portion of the shutfus, he could have gotten all his ducks in a row before the gerus. I mean, he could have done this before he converted. But by Yerusha, that's not really in his control. His parent didn't die until after he converted, so you can't control when the parent is going to die. So that's why there's more of a concern of Yachsu L'Suro in the case of Yerusha than there is in this case. The Sefer Avodah suggests differently. He says a shutfus is something that's not shkiach at all. Yerusha is very shchiach, so the concern, the takana, shem yachsu l'suro, was made for cases that are fairly common. So obviously Yerusha is a very common thing, people die all the time, but to have a shutfus in avodah zarah and something else, and it happens to be one of the partners wants to convert, that's an unusual situation. Okay, now the Gemara moves on to a third shaila that's discussed by this group. Hadur Yasi v'kamim ba'yilahu. The same group of chachamim raised the following shayla. Ger toshav ma'ushay yivatal v'dzchavim. Can a ger toshav be mevatal v'dzara? Do we assume the palach maftil, the lo palach lo maftil, that only someone who actually worships the v'dzara has the ability to be mevatal the v'dzara, but a ger toshav, by definition, doesn't worship the v'dzara? That's part of being a ger toshav. Therefore, maybe cannot be mevatal. Little dilma called the bar mine mevatal v'haybar. Or do we assume anyone who's a min of a goy, meaning he is a goy, he's not a Jew, has the ability to be mevatel, and he is certainly not a Jew. Right, meaning he may look a little more like a Jew, he may be a little more dignified in appearance or whatever, you know, but he's certainly not a Jew. So sometimes people think by mechiras chametz that the more goyish the goy looks, like they're better than mechiras chametz. No, such it's probably worse, meaning you want someone who looks more dignified, who not looks, but who understands, and right, as Rabbi Willig always does with John Brown, because John Brown is he understands real estate, he understands so he understands transactions, and he has money, so he can actually buy much of the chametz. That's the chumrah. I was talking to another rabbi the other day, and he said, oh, we have the best guy. His name is actually Mr. White. I don't know if everyone has a color for a last name, but he says the guy, he's got, you know, tattoos all up his arm. It's like an OU certified goy, you know, like a real. I don't know that's any better. It was interesting. Rabbi Schoenfeld told me that in the early years he went with his father, Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld, to get to some old European rav who sold chametz to a guy, and the European rav only spoke Yiddish. So Rabbi Schoenfeld Senior had to be the translator. He's saying, Zonder Orel. He's going to tell the RL that that he has to understand that he owns the chametz. You understand? Yeah, I understand. Tell the RL that if he needs to get into the house, he could be pirates, gedarim, and break through the walls if he needs to get into the house. So Rabbi Schoenfeld would say, you can be granted legal access to the house. You know, like the translation would be. So So can the ger toshav be mevatel yavod zar? So Amar Rav Nachman Mestavra, the palach mevatel, the lo palach lo maftil. That only someone who actually worships yavod zar has the ability to be mevatel it. The ger toshav cannot be mevatel yavod zar. He doesn't worship yavod zar. So Meisvei. So they asked Rav Nachman, Yisrael shematzav elzcham b'shuk. A Jew finds yavod zar out in the shuk, ad shelo basal yado, before he ever picks it up, omer lo ovid kochavim mevatla, he can instruct in the ovid kochavim to be mevatel the avod zara, but misha basal yado, once it's already biyad Yisrael, eino omer lo ovid kochavim mevatla, then you can't tell an ovid kochavim anything to be mevatel it, because it's already in the hands of Yisrael. Neisha amru, ovid kochavim mevatel, avod kochavim shelo, vishel chavero, bein ovda, bein she'en ovda, a guy could be mevatel his own own avodah zara of another guy, whether that guy who's mevatel worshipped that avodah zara or he never worshipped that avodah zara. The guy is able to be mevatel in avodah zara that's out in the shuk, even though he has no shaychus to that avodah zara. My ovda, what does it mean that the guy is mevatel that which he is oved? My she'eno ovda. That Ovda and Eino Ovda are talking about that the Mevatel is a guy. And the Bryce is telling me that a guy is Mevatel and Avodah Zarah that belongs to him, that's Ovda. And an Avodah Zarah that belongs to another guy, that's Eino Ovda. That can't be. Hainu Shalov Shal Chavero. Is that the Bryce already said it could be Mevatel his and someone else's. El Alav, what it must mean is, Ovda means Ovid Kochavim. Umay Eino Ovda, Gertoshav. Shema mina Gertoshav na mivatel. That Eino Ovda must mean a Gertoshav. So you see from there that a Gertoshav also has the ability to be mivatel and Avodah Zarah against Rav Nachman. So says Gemara, now we can defend Rav Nachman. Lo, Liola Meimelach, EDVD, Ovid Kochavim. Maybe Ovda, Eino Ovda, it both refers to an Ovid Kochavim. Udaka Amrit, Hainu Shalov. You said, but that's the same phrase as Shalov Shel Chavero then. Why repeat the same thing? So Reisha Zevezel Lepaor V'Zevezel Lemarkulis. In the case of the Reisha, the difference Shalov Shel Chavero is where they both worship the same type of Avodah Zarah. The Brice is Mechadish, just like the guy can be Mevatel Avodah Zarah, he can be Mevatel his own Paor, he can be Mevatel someone else's Paor as well. Just like he can be Mevatel his own Markulis, he can be Mevatel someone else's Markulis as well. Seifa, Zelapar Vizela Markulis. The Chiddush of Bein Ovda, Bein Shein Ovda, doesn't include a Ger Toshav. Nothing to do with the Ger Toshav. It's about an Ovid Kochavim. But it's this Ovid Kochavim worships Par, that one worships Markulis. The one who worships Par could be Mevatel, the other guy's Markulis. That's the Chiddush. But a Ger Toshav is not an Ovid Avodah Zarah B'chlal. Rav Nachman's correct. A Ger Toshav can't be Mevatel any sort of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara asked Rav Nachman from Brisa discusses the status, what exactly is a Gertoshev? Meisve, Ezu Gertoshev. What is a Gertoshev? A Gertoshev, we have requirements. You have mitzvah lachyoso. We have to try to support a Gertoshev. So what is a Gertoshev? What qualifies a person? Kol shekibel olav b'fnei shlosha chaverim, anyone who doesn't have milo or tvila, but he's mekabel on himself in front of three talmidei chachamim, the following. Shelo lavod avodos kochavim. Rameir says, just not to be oved, avodah zarah. The chum, amrim kol shekibel olav shev mitzvah, shekibel olav b'nei noach. Not enough not to be oved, avodah zarah. He asked me, mekabel shev mitzvah b'nei noach. Acherim amrim, elu lo bo l'chol gertoshev. Both what Reb Meir defined as Ger Toshav and what the Chum defined as Ger Toshav, not enough. That's not a Ger Toshav. Eleizu Ger Toshav is a Ger Sheochel Nevelos Shekibul of the Kaim Kol Mitzvos Amrus B'Torah Chutz Miyisur Nevelos. It's a Ger who eats Nevelos, who's Mekayim all other mitzvos in the Torah except for Achilas Nevelos. That's a major Girsa issue over here, whether we should actually be Goreis that phrase Shekibul Kol Mitzvos Hamrus B'Torah. But the point is, the Hemshech of the Braisa discusses that a Ger Toshav, however you define it, has a different dinim than a regular guy as far as the yayin of the Ger Toshav. Miyachadin etzel yayin. If a Jew has a wine, has a store of wine, and a Ger Toshav comes in, the Jew is allowed to leave the Ger Toshav alone in the store with the wine. It doesn't have to be choshesh that the Ger Toshav is going to touch the wine in the store or be menasech the wine in the store, because he's definitely minimally not an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He doesn't have to be choshesh that the Ger Toshav is going to switch out the wine, because in a short period of time there's no such chashash. He doesn't have to be choshesh that another guy is going to come and touch the wine, because the Ger Toshav is not going to allow that to happen. He's going to be there to protect it. Ve'in mafkidin etzlo yayin, but a Jew is not allowed to give as a pikadon wine for a long time by a Ger Toshav. Vafilu bi'ir sheru b'Yisrael, even if there's not so much of a chashash that a guy is going to come be menasech the wine, because most of the people in the city are Jews and it's only a minority that are goyim, so we don't have to be choshesh l'miyuta, but nevertheless there's a chashash that the Ger Toshav is going to switch out the wine with his own wine, and the wine of a Ger Toshav is asur b'shtia. Aval miyachadin etzlo yayin vafilu bi'ir sharuba over the chavim. But in the Jewish story, you could be miyachid wine by him, leave him alone with the wine, even in a city that's rov of the chavim, and goyim might walk into the store, but we're not choshish because the Ger Toshav is not going to allow the goy to touch the wine. So a shamno kiyeno. The Braisa just adds that we have to be machmir on Ger Toshav to asur his oil. oil the same way we aser his wine. Shamnu kienu saltadeidich, shamnu mikavi nesach. What do you mean? There's no such thing as shemen nesach. Eliyeno kishamno. No, his wine is like his oil that's mutabana and it's only aser b'shtia. Ulisharkal davar areu kovid chavim. But as far as everything else is concerned, he has a din of another chavim. Shimon gomliel omer, yeno yayin nesach, v'amila mutar b'shtia. That it's his wine is yayin nesach, it's even aser b'ana. And then some say, no, Rav Shimon Gamliel goes in the other direction, that it's mutar even b'shtia. But katani miya, the bottom line is, what we learned over here is, ulishar kol dvar v'hareyu kol v'chavim, that for everything else, he's like a guy. L'may hilchsa, l'avdim v'at avodas kol chavim ka'o v'chavim. Doesn't that mean he's like a guy in the sense that he's able to be mevatel avodah zarah? Some Rav Nachman Yitzchak, lo. Litein reshus l'vatel reshus. It's talking about a din in Erevin, that if a ger toshav has a house that opens up into a chatzar where Jews live, the b'nei chatzar are not allowed to carry out into to that chatzar until they're socher reshus of the ger toshav from Erev Shabbos. And if he's able to be mevatel reshus by the b'nei chatzar, so that then they're able to carry. K'detani, Yisrael mumer meshamer shabbatel b'shuk, mevatel reshus, shein meshamer shabbatel b'shuk, ein mevatel reshus. At least if he's shomer Shabbos publicly, he could be mevatel reshus. Mei sha'amru, Yisrael nosin reshus, mevatel reshus, v'chavim, ad sheyiskor. But in order to chavim, you need to do an actual rental. Keitzad, omer lo, reshusi knui lach, reshusi mevatel lach, kana, ve'ein tzarech liskos. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll discuss maybe some of the details of exactly how that works and how that plays out in the Erevin b'zman hazeh.